Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America, and happy Friday. Boy, do we got a good show for you today. I think one of the most innovative players in states today, one of the most innovative governors. It's not my word. Actually, Heritage and other people have rated her one of the most innovative governors in the country. Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota. She's going to spend a long extended block with us talking about the importance of what she's doing. She's helping to fight anti-Semitism. She's helping to fight Chinese influence and Chinese purchases of land. She's helping protect children from the dangers of TikTok. All these are federal issues, and when Washington doesn't act, a lot of people throw their hands up and say, we can't do anything, not Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem jumps into the fire and says, I can fix that. I know how to fix that. And she uses state rights. She uses state legislation. She uses executive powers to address those things that don't feel American, that feel like threats to America. The first two blocks of today's show are going to be with Governor Noem. I'm really excited about that. And then the last block, you know, everybody went into this 2024 election year thinking, well, maybe the Fed will turn down interest rates. And then new data keeps coming over and over again. Inflation's still persisting. It's more stubborn than we thought. It's not going away. People still feeling it at the grocery cart and the gas station. Well, Philip Patrick from our good partner at Birch Gold Group, he's here to walk us through whether we're going to get an interest rate cut. He's becoming less certain of that. In fact, he's becoming downright doubtful. I think Philip Patrick will tell us why there's so much instability and uncertainty about the future of our economy and why gold is still a good hedge. It's at record high numbers, $2,000 an ounce plus. It's a great hedge. And if you had bought it a couple of years ago when we started our partnership with Birch Gold, you made out pretty darn well. Big growth in that. So Philip Patrick will join us in the back end of the show. But first, two consecutive sessions with Governor Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor, vice presidential shortlist candidate for President Trump. We're going to have that at the top of the show. We'll be right back in a few minutes to kick things off. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I am so excited. She is consistently rated as one of the most innovative governors in America, one of its most popular. And she has shown time and again that you can use state rights to solve problems that the federal government in Washington seems to fumble. Joining us from the great state of South Dakota is Governor Kristi Noem. Governor, great to have you on.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for inviting me. It's wonderful to be with you.
We love talking to you because so many people walk around this city telling us the things they can't do. But in South Dakota, you always are finding things that you can accomplish. Your exercise of state rights is really a model. You can solve geopolitical issues with China. You can deal with anti-Semitism. Meanwhile, Washington fumbles it. A big one today, right? You're going to be signing some historic legislation to take on the scourge of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, we actually did that just a couple of hours ago. We signed a bill that defined what anti-Semitism was. It gave powerful examples that we can use in litigation and in court to make sure that hate crimes stop, not just in South Dakota, but this will be used as model legislation in many other states. Because it is written so strong and it was unified within the Jewish community, within the groups that have always stood strong with Israel, and it is something that we will use throughout the United States of America to make sure that anti-Semitism is stopped. I think all of us were horrified by what happened on October 7th. And what I was even more horrified about after that was the pro-Hamas support that some uneducated people in this country endorsed and wrapped their arms around. So we're going to use this as an opportunity not just to stop hate crimes, but to stand with our Israel allies and to also make sure that we're pushing back on terrorist organizations who want to destroy not just Israel, but also the United States of America.
Yeah, so important.
Yeah. And some people might not realize this, but South Dakota's Jewish population has been there for nearly 200 years. They came during the gold rush and settled in Deadwood. So a very important part of South Dakota's culture and community. I want to switch gears to China because you have been so fierce in combating from a state capacity China's influence in the United States with respect to the purchase of farmland, but also over on social media. And the Biden campaign announced that they are going to be using TikTok to a pretty great degree as far as their campaign. You banned it for statewide employees on their devices. What kind of message does it send that the Biden campaign is willing to be vulnerable on a platform like TikTok?
Well, you referenced it earlier when you were talking about Hunter Biden. The guy has no gifts or skills or talents, yet he was selling access to his father and doing it to China. That is exactly what TikTok is selling people's information, data, and access to China. And Biden is facilitating it through his campaign. There's a different set of rules for Joe Biden, apparently, than the rest of the American people, because after South Dakota was the first state in the country to ban TikTok, dozens of other states followed our lead. The federal government even followed our lead and banned it on federal devices. And yet Joe Biden says, no, still good enough for me. We're going to continue to partner with China, and all they want to do is to destroy our country. So this will mark the 30th year that I have worked on China policy, which has been a long time. But I have systematically watched China steal our intellectual property. They have manipulated their currency. They have punished us with trade agreements and regulations. They've come in and purchased our fertilizer and chemical companies, our processing systems. Now they're stealing our data and information and spying on us, and then crossing our southern border to infiltrate us with military-aged men that are here only to damage us. Their goal is to control the world and be the strongest power. And the only way they can do that is by taking down America. Make no mistake, the people in this country need to understand that Joe Biden is facilitating that by continuing to use TikTok and when he does it to try to win elections.
Yeah, so important. I think everywhere I go, I get this question, Governor. Why are so many military-age Chinese men coming across the border? They can't leave their country unless their country gives them an exit visa, so their country knows where they're going. Do you have any intelligence, as anything the state police or any of the apparatus that you have, your homeland security experts, any explanation for what their motive is? What are they doing coming into the country in such historic numbers?
They are coming here not just with permission, they are coming here with a mission from their government. They are CCP members that are told to come and infiltrate the United States of America to collect data and information. In fact, just this summer, we knew and had warnings from the State Department that there was going to be spies in South Dakota that were here to steal our genetics on our seeds and our agricultural commodities and on other information on how we grow our food in this country. And that's just in one industry. We know that they are sending these individuals here to steal our way of life so that they can control it and we become dependent on them. And when they control our food, when they control our pharmaceutical supply, which they already do, when their military is stronger than ours, which it is getting there, and when they control our debt, which they are doing by buying our treasury bonds, boy, it is a scary time unless we get a president in that White House that really stands up and understands the threat that China is and doesn't sell access like Joe Biden does through his son, Hunter.
So important.
Governor, we referenced this a moment ago, but it's not just China. You also signed a new bill on Monday, I believe, that bans China, Russia, Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, and Iran from buying agricultural land in your state. I imagine that frees up a lot of land for purchase for South Dakotans, which sounds like a good thing to me.
It does, and it's important that we don't have neighbors that hate us. You know, in South Dakota in particular, we have Ellsworth Air Force Base. So Ellsworth Air Force Base is the home of our B-1 bombers. Our MQ-9 Reaper drones operate out of there, and it is going to be the first base in the United States of America where the B-21s will be established. That is the platform that will protect our country for the next 50 years. And all of our allies that we need to support and all of our strategic assets will need to be located in the center of this country to respond to the threats that we have. So Ellsworth is the key to the United States' success and security, and we're going to make sure that we don't have China buying land next to Ellsworth or in our state, and that we know who those neighbors are and that they support our national security interests. So that bill was incredibly innovative. We had broad support between ag groups, but also business groups, legislators, and got that signed into law as well. And I believe other states will be looking at that to make sure that we don't have China continuing to buy up land inside of our country. Lord knows that they'd never allow us to come over there and buy up their land.
Yeah, exactly. There's no reciprocity whatsoever. Governor, you mentioned the Biden family. A few years ago, Joe Biden looked in the camera in 2020 and said, my family didn't get any money from China. Donald Trump's lying. We now know that isn't true. It's $8 million at least that they got from Chinese interests. And the things they were doing were like helping them try to get energy assets on our soil and take it over to China. What message does it send to China that the current president has so much financial interest or had so much financial interest in Beijing?
That they own him. That China owns our president. And we knew he was lying. Now we have proof. He should be held accountable to that. And honestly, the consequences for that action and the proof of those emails and documents, he should be held accountable to that even before this election. But the American people need to open up their eyes and recognize that they have a president that is not putting them first. He's putting a communist party ahead of them, and he's fundamentally trying to remake this country through an invasion over our southern border and by selling out to the Chinese government.
Real quickly, we're going to hit a commercial break, but do you support impeachment? Do you think there's enough evidence to impeach Joe Biden?
I'm going to look at these documents, but if these documents are valid and if they're, and they appear to be, absolutely, that is grounds to open up these kinds of hearings.
Yeah, very good. Governor,
I have another question about that, but it's a longer one, so I'll catch it on the other side. I'm going to ask a juicy question before we go, though, because it's fast. You were number two in the straw poll. You tied with Vivek Ramaswamy for the VP role. What would you say if he asked?
Well, in my book, I always say I'm number one, he's number two. So, but no, I'm kidding. That was wonderful to see that kind of support. But I want President Trump to pick a vice president that will help him win. I'll do whatever I can. But we need him back in the White House because we need to make America great again. Enough is enough.
Folks, don't go anywhere. More with our exclusive interview with Kristi Noem right after these messages.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back, America. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is going to rejoin us to dive back into where we left off before the commercial break. But I'm hoping to get a little spoiler of her upcoming book coming out May 7th. It's titled No Going Back, The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics and How We Move America Forward. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But Governor Noem, thank you so much for sticking with us. I want to talk about election integrity because we are fresh off of Super Tuesday yesterday. Obviously, President Trump just wiping the floor. It was a near sweep with the exception, of course, of Vermont, but he is the de facto nominee for the Republican Party now. There are a number of counties across America who have opted out of the Zuckerbucks nonprofit assistance. So nice of them to offer their help in these counties, but they said no thank you, very wisely so, I think. You are one of those governors who you are innovative, you are industrious, you think outside of the box with respect to election integrity going into November. What would you grade South Dakota's election integrity to be right now?
You know, I would give us an A. We definitely banned private money funding our elections. Zuckbucks was a bill that I brought forward and we passed last year during legislative session to ensure that that didn't happen. We banned drop boxes in the state of South Dakota. You have to use your driver's license, voter ID in order to vote. You vote on or before election day. And we have a lot of integrity in our system. Poll watchers and people that are there in a very transparent process. I think every state should follow our model. That's what I've been concerned about, is that we saw in 2020 what a lot of these states did by governors writing executive orders because of an emergency situation, that they were allowed to ignore election law. So our election laws are incredibly important. Our Secretary of State, who are our chief election officers, are incredibly important. We need to be preparing right now for this fall to make sure that each of these states, and especially those states where we know we have liberal governors, that they are going to follow their election laws, and that we are continuing as conservatives and as Republicans to make sure that we're using every tool available to us to make sure that our people get out and vote and that we get the chance to get that vote counted.
Yeah, so important. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but on Monday, I believe it was, the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, actually told a church full of churchgoers that I'm going to try to get rid of voter ID. I think voter ID is discriminatory, an impediment to voting. 80% of Americans support it. When they implemented it in Georgia and they demagogued on it, more people ended up voting than ever before because they felt that the election was secure. What does it say when the Attorney General is not only disconnected from what Americans want, but actually thinks that just showing an ID for the most precious right we have in this country is somehow an impediment?
Well, he is a horrible attorney general. So number one, if we could get a better attorney general, that would be fantastic. But so what he says is specifically said so that they can manipulate the election. Voter ID is incredibly important to make sure that that person is counted, that that one person gets one vote and that they're not double counted. And even what that ID is and how it's utilized is incredibly important, that it's verified, that it's something that's recognized, that we can ensure that that individual is who they say they are. So I thought that was shameful. I don't think he should even be allowed to continue in a position like that with that type of an opinion. And I hope none of our Secretary of States follow that opinion or our attorney generals when they're going forward and looking at this next election.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty insulting to make comments like that. It's the bigotry of low expectations that people can't obtain an ID, which is one of the easiest things that you can do, and it's required to do practically anything else. I want to stay down in Georgia, though, and talk to you about what happened there last weekend with Lake and Riley. The governor of that city, of Athens, Georgia, Kelly Gertz, gave a number of press conferences, and one of the things that he said that I think was also insulting was that criminality is not connected to illegal immigration. You now have this administration referring to illegal aliens, folks breaking our laws coming into this country as newcomers. I don't want to get into the minds of people who vote Democrat or liberal or whatever. I can't speak to what they say, but I just can't wrap my brain around that not being insulting to practically every American.
To every American, but think about that poor family. Think of Lakin's poor family hearing someone actually say that. They lost their dear, precious child, and their heart is broken forever. And obviously, criminality is tied to this illegal immigration. All criminality should be dealt with. But we know for a fact, and press reports have openly given us the facts for over a year and a half, that countries such as Venezuela are emptying out their prisons, they're emptying out their mental institutions, and they're taking their responsibilities of people that they have to care for and be responsible for, and they're saying, go to America. The border is open, go there and be their problem, their responsibility. And so we know that we are not just getting people who are listed on the known terrorist watch list. We know that we're getting people from China and from Cuba and from North Korea, but we're also getting individuals from all other dozens of countries that are not good actors, that are their biggest societal problems, are coming to America because of the situation that we have at the border. So I have deployed my National Guard now to the southern border 5 different times. I was the first governor in the country to deploy National Guard with a recognition that it was a war zone. And this time, the guard that will be going will be building a wall. I asked Governor Abbott exactly, specifically, what type of help that he needed. And he said, you know, what happened was that the federal government challenged us because they saw we actually had constructed a barrier that was working, that even these military-aged men could not get across. And that's when they sued us to take it down. So I said, well, let me send you some engineers that know how to build this, build it as fast as possible, and we can work with you to even get it across private ground where landowners are in agreement, and let's close up as much as that border as possible. And where we do see open places where we still have people crossing that border, we'll know it's because Democrats are allowing it to happen, but we'll secure as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, what a great mission, such an important one. Governor, I want to ask you about your new book. Your last book was a wonderful memoir. We got to understand how you got into politics, what are the values that drive you. This one has a very provocative title, No Going Back. Tell us why you wrote this and why it's so important to you.
You know, John, this one's a little unfiltered, so I think you're going to want to read it.
I'm all in.
I think that a lot of people really need to know. And what I found in America, too, is that a lot of people keep saying, you know, they want to go back to the good old days of politics where everybody got along and there was no arguing. And my argument is that Trump broke politics. We're not going back. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing because he allowed people to go out and to speak the truth, to talk about the swamp, and to do it in a way that was very honest and genuine, and it's resonating with the American people. So let's take that and use that as a tool to get American people on board and voting and understanding conservative policies in a way that they never have before. It's almost a to-do book for the common citizen of who thinks that their vote doesn't matter, that what they do doesn't matter. They will read every single chapter and see a couple of quotes and some instructions and some stories that they've never heard before on politics, of people that they know very well and understand really what the swamp is, what the shadow government is, and then what they can do to make a difference to really turn this country around. So we're not going back to the good old days of Mitt Romney and the Cheneys, and that's a good thing. We should celebrate that, and then here's what we can do to continue to build on the success that President Trump first brought us.
Important.
Fantastic. And I want to stay on that because I know you referred to what happened last night as boring because I think most of us expected what happened last night to happen. But over on some of the legacy media channels, they not only were apoplectic, but I think that they were truly shocked that President Trump did so well in these states. And they kept remarking about how the transformation of the Republican Party is complete as of last night. And it just seems like year after year, cycle after cycle, Trump victory after Trump victory, they still don't understand the American people, do they?
No, they don't. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book, is that most of the time when you get a politician that is going to announce that they're going to run for elected office, the first thing they go out is they go find a barn or they go get a hay bale or they put on some overalls and stand there and act like they're just like one of you. And I said, when President Trump announced that he was running for president, he came down a golden escalator. Like, who does that? We have like two escalators in the entire state of South Dakota. So most of my population cannot relate on their daily day-to-day business, you know, what using an escalator is. But he did that because that's who he is. He was genuine. He embraced who he is and was honest about it. And he doesn't think he's better than anybody else. He doesn't think that he's better than the truck driver or the farmer or the housewife that is raising kids and raising our future generation. And that's the difference between him and the politicians that we've had for decades, is that they try to act like they are like you, but they think they're better. President Trump doesn't think he's better than you. He's one of you, and he's going to fight for you.
Wow, what a great interview with Governor Noem. Up next, we're going to dive into to cut the interest rates or to not cut the interest rate. A little Shakespearean, I think. Philip Patrick from Birch Gold Group going to walk us through what's really going on in the economy. The signs are less hopeful for an interest rate cut anytime soon. He'll explain why and why gold is still a good hedge in this really volatile market. We'll have Philip Patrick, our good friend, right after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back, America. As we mentioned earlier in the show, leaders in Congress have unveiled six bipartisan bills to fund parts of the government through the remainder of the year. Yep, if you hear that cash register clicking or the sound of the debt accruing, you are right. And I think one of the big questions that Congressman Ralph Norman raised with us just a little bit ago, not only is it an embarrassment that we keep spending this way, but what's the long-term impact on inflation? We have the perfect guest to bring us into this. He's a member of our proud sponsor for tonight's segment, Birch Gold Group. Philip Patrick is one of the country's premier economic experts. He had this entire fiscal crisis nailed 3.5 years ago when we first brought him on. We're going to bring him in now to referee what we've just done. Have we put more kerosene on the fire, Philip?
It certainly looks that way. As you mentioned, over the weekend, they rolled out one of the two necessary budgets, and now we're funding six major areas of government: agriculture, transportation, commerce, justice, veterans affairs, and energy. So 26% of the annual discretionary spending. So we've got that on the table for now. As we know, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson doesn't want a shutdown. Since winning his gavel back in October, he's questioned the political wisdom of drawing a line in the sand and allowing a government shutdown and really forcing a debate. So really more of the same, just political theater, which we've been used to, which will end, I think, with the same result: more spending and larger deficits. And that's the real problem, right? What we're debating here is amassing debt at a slower rate, but nobody's talking about paying down the debt, right? The total discretionary budget for 2024 is almost exactly the projected budget deficit. So in other words, if Congress slashed discretionary spending to zero, we're not going to make any progress in paying down this debt. And that's becoming crucial because carrying $34.4 trillion of debt is getting more and more expensive every single day. We're already at a point where it's unsustainable. It's just heading further and further down the wrong path.
Yeah. Well, and Philip, you know, with respect to these six appropriations bills, Democrats don't run on being fiscally responsible. They don't necessarily run on tax cuts and things like that because for their voters, that's not typically what is most important to them. What I would think would be important to Democrats, though, is winning a second term for Joe Biden. But inflation is already killing American families. And if this increases inflation, even by another point or two, that's going to be disastrous for Joe Biden, won't it?
Yeah, I agree vehemently. And this is the only positive of rising inflation is maybe it backfires on the administration and leads to a change. But I agree with you. I think that inflation is probably the biggest issue that this administration is facing because the American people have had enough, right? We've said before, credit card debt is mounting. We're seeing, you know, a rising number of Americans having to take out hardship loans to make ends meet. The average retirement account has lost 25% of its purchasing power since Biden got in office. So my hope is the only sort of silver lining to the inflation disaster is it may be the final nail in the coffin for the administration.
Yeah. Now, the Federal Reserve has created an expectation, which is always dangerous. Hey, we're going to start cutting rates later this year, but with inflationary pressures going up and spending going up, it seems like the promise and the reality may collide. How do you referee that, and what should we be concerned about in our own portfolios?
Listen, 2 months ago, I would have said, yeah, he's going to slash rates. They were looking very political at the tail end of last year. And ultimately, the federal government can't afford higher interest rates for that much longer. It's crippling us with the debt that we have. But that was until I saw, and this was a while ago, the 60-minute interview with Jerome Powell, where he said, and I think we've discussed this before, but I'll quote directly, he said, it's probably time or past time to get back to having an adult conversation amongst elected officials about getting the federal government back on to a sustainable fiscal path. And I thought very tellingly, he said, look, we're effectively borrowing from future generations. And he's encouraging the administration not to hand the bills down to our children and our grandchildren. For me, that was basically a slap in the face of the Biden administration. Yeah. Let's not forget, this is the man that's responsible for maintaining the dollar's purchasing power, telling the administration that we're robbing from our grandchildren. Now, I have to say, I haven't been Powell's biggest fan in general, but I respect him for this. And I think he's looking at his legacy now, thinking, you know, he doesn't want to be the guy remembered in here, you know, the guy that was at the wheel when the dollar crashed. So now I'm wondering whether he stands firm, does his job and hold rates firm and at least prioritize inflation. So 2 months ago, I would have said no. Now there's a chance that he holds firm. But you never know because I think the Fed are a little bit political. I don't think they want a stock market crash this year. So we'll have to wait and see. But it's looking a lot less likely now.
Wow. That's big news.
Yeah. Philip, for the course of my entire life, I was born in the 80s, there has never really been a question about the strength of the U.S. dollar with respect to it being the global currency. We are starting to see legitimate questions raised about whether that is going to be the future, even in just 5 years from now. As a result, you are seeing gold go up and up and up. It's growing in popularity because people realize that as far as hard assets, it is the most reliable precious metals in general. It recently, I think, hit another historic high, right?
It did. We recently hit an all-time high in terms of dollar amount. Today, we're up over 2,100 at 2,115, which is a reflection of what's happening in the economy and the realities of Bidenomics. I think there is a lot of scope for growth, though. You mentioned the 80s. I was born in the 80s as well. That was when we saw, in real terms, the high in gold prices. If we adjusted the 1980s high to inflation today, that would put gold at 3,300. So number one, I think we've got a lot of scope for movement. Number two, the options today are so limited, right? Last time we had a stagflationary climate was 1970s to 1980s. Gold grew tenfold in that climate. Well, guess what? We got a very similar climate in front of us today, and we have so with so many less options. Yes, inflation was 9 or 10% in the 70s. You could put your money in the bank and get 15 or 16. We don't have those options today, which makes gold even more important.
All right, folks, that wraps up the Friday edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to Governor Kristi Noem for spending so much quality time with us, and also to Philip Patrick, our good friend at Birch Gold Group. He's been with us from the very beginning. A lot to think about in the economy and what's going on. Inflation is just not going down the way our Treasury Secretary and our President have been promising us. So how about that? All right. We'll be back tomorrow. For the next 2 days, we're going to do something very special. I'm not going to do a lot of talking. I'm going to introduce and then turn over the mic to my good friend, Peter Schweitzer, the head of the Government Accountability Institute, the great author. He's got a brand new book out. It really lays out how American money is being used by China to fight a covert war against America. That's right, against our children. They're sowing division in our country, putting devices into guns that can turn them into machine guns for the gangs and the criminal elements. Peter Schweitzer is going to blow your socks off. The new book is Blood Money. We're going to have it tomorrow. Be sure to check it. Have a good night, everyone. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.